Everyone in the hollow knows that Natch is now the boss. The trees are all quiet now. No one has to follow their stupid rules. Natch is the only one smart enough to know what needs to be done. He will bring lots of friends to the hollow to make sure those little flying fools never do to anyone what they did to him. Everyone thinks they're all little good people, but Natch knows the truth. He knows that they are mean and cruel little beasts who think they can do whatever they want. Nope. No more. Natch is now the boss, and no one can tell him what to do. Ever since he met his best friend, he knows that he can make this whole forest do whatever he wants. His best friend tells him secrets. He teaches him magic. He gives him power. All he has to do is wear the necklace. All he has to do is have fun and wear the necklace. The stupid Shi-Chi didn't even know what they had. Natch killed their chief, spoiled their home. He is boss. He can make the swamp people wander out into the world. He can make the big people see things. Things that make them sad or mad. But sometimes they see him, too. Stupid weasel girl made him hurt. But his best friend tells him he will make it right. Today, best friend has invited some new friends to play. They are funny. They wear red hats and big, big boots. They want to kill. They want to eat. They want to play. Today, they will play with a stupid weasel girl. His best friend tells him it's going to work out just fine. Best friend would never lie. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is episode 29. And we are back on remote recording for at least this episode. For the next two should be studio episodes, so look forward to those. For now, you'll have to deal with whatever weird sound issues we have on these. This is a special episode. In case any of you wonder what happened to Zeke in the last two episodes, we're going to find out because we have live just back from Europe.
Yeah.
Kevin, how you doing, Kevin?
I wish that I had picked up any French while I was in there, because then I would just launch into some explanation in French of how I'm doing, but I did not. So no. I'm doing well.
Good, good. And to help us along today, we have Scott. How you doing, Scott?
Comme ci, comme ça. That's all the French I know. I'm done.
Well, Scott.
I guess it would be je suis comme ci, comme ça. Yes.
As we know, Scott is in his hidden volcano lair somewhere in the continental United States. So thanks for joining us once again. Scott will not be playing his erstwhile knight, Sir Nolan Keth. He will be doing something else. And Or will he? Or he might just be making snide commentary in the background, which is also perfectly fine.
Now there's an idea.
Or erst won't he?
Yeah. So your trip overseas, how has it affected your role playing?
I do have a desire to perhaps someday, when I'm done butchering the Scottish accent, perhaps butcher a French accent. That's percolating.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's much else. That's about it.
Okay, cool, cool. Voices are a big part of it. Yeah, yeah, we know. Mm. Yeah, so do you remember the last thing that happened?
I don't know if Zika does, but I do. Yeah. Kind of hard to forget. Yeah, I don't have a snappy alternate name, the Kerfluffle.
Other than the fact that you don't forget being assaulted by flying rabbits.
Tornado, a storm, a monsoon of flying rabbits.
Yeah, and you missed out on all of that because, we'll find out in a minute.
Zika knows none of that.
Yeah, yeah. Something else happened to her. And we're going to find out momentarily, because when we pick up with you, you're still in Wenya's Hollow, the enchanted fey forest in the northwest of Iamora, or occasionally in the northwest of Iamora and sometimes in other places. So let's jump right back into it, shall we?
I'm ready when you are.
All right, here we go. The last thing that Zeke Hardwater remembers before things got extra weird was that her and her friends had found what they believed was respite in this strange forest, in a nice little clearing with a pond. And then all of a sudden, the skies darkened and a strange sound filled the air. strange shrieking cries from the sky. And as the shadow encompasses our heroes, Razor, Sir Nolan, Kiernan, Zika, and Rain, the sky is filled with flying rabbits. Multicolored, lop-eared flying rabbits with ill intent and blood in their eyes descend upon the whole group of you. And in an instant, everyone goes into action.
Situation's getting a little bit hairy.
Yes. In an instant, you see Nolan looking to find an area for you to get to, find some safety, drawing the rabbits away. You see Razor casting a spell to protect himself. Yep, just himself. You see Kiernan also trying to find cover for everyone. And as the rabbits hit the group, out of the corner of your eye, deeper into the woods, you see a sight that you cannot believe. You see a little man, a strange, horrible little man that you've seen before, a greenish shape, skin of some kind of strange greenish, woodish hue. He blinks in front of your eyes, and you lock eyes with this little bastard. And this is the one. This is the person you saw in the tree, in the temple, in the village you just came from. And for that moment, you are compelled to follow as he disappears into the trees.
Yeah, come back here.
And as din of rabbits and the cries of your friends disappear behind you, you find yourself peeling into the woods, dodging trees. You see this shape just out of your vision ahead of you, and you run. And just as you think you see him, he disappears and shows up in a tree, slightly off to the left, then in some undergrowth, off to the right. And just when you think you have a beat on him, he disappears again. I need you to make me a survival roll.
Ooh, that's no good. That is an 8.
Okay, so as you attempt to follow what minimal trail this creature leaves behind, you cut through the silver birch growth and the strange twisting shapes that make up Wenya's Hollow, the vegetation that somehow seems out of place, almost seems like it's moving towards you.
Come back here. Come back here and face me, you wee cowardly shite. Come back here. Where are you? I'll find you. I'll find you no matter what.
And then, in an instant, you find yourself somewhere else.
Dun, dun, dun.
You find yourself in another clearing. And this clearing, like a few others you find, looks out of place. The first thing you notice in this little shaded area is a massive oak tree. And this oak tree looks, though it's towering above you, it appears to be almost entirely dead. There are knot holes all throughout it, and the branches have no leaves, but they all seem to be just twisting in odd, strange shapes. And as you look and gaze upon this tree, you will notice that it appears that as you examine it, you can see what looks almost like a face. You see these two large knot holes that appear like off-kilter eyes and a large angled hole in the tree that cuts across it in a diagonal kind of almost frowning shape. And the lines of the grain on the tree come around these eyes like massive sets of wrinkles and jowls around the mouth, like some impossibly old, sad face with lifeless eyes. And it just kind of catches you there. I mean, you're no stranger. Strange trees in the forest. God knows that the glasswood is not the usual kind of place. But the feeling you get from this is stark hopelessness. And there you are, alone in this little sad glade. What do you do?
I feel like after following the little creature, I'm definitely on edge. So probably staring all around, looking in the tops of the trees, down to the bushes, to holes in the ground. So I guess that kind of sounds to me like maybe an investigation.
Okay, give me an investigation roll.
That is a 12.
Okay, so looking around the area, at first it seems like this place is desolate for what it is. You hear the ambient noise of different wildlife around you, but you don't see anything close by. All around you, you see more of these huge silver birch trees just blocking out the sun. But this area is almost blighted in a way. There's very little actual vegetation that it seems to be growing here.
Has there been much in the way of regular vegetation, you know, as regular as it would be since we've been in Winyas Hollow, or does this really stand out?
This stands out. I remember there's stuff that the other party has seen, but you haven't. Right. So this stands out to you now as you've been trekking through the woods. You've noticed wildly different areas of vegetation just popping up out of nowhere, like different kinds of trees all of a sudden. And then it moves back into the silver birch trees. Mm-hmm. You're starting to get the sense that perhaps you're not all in one place all of the time.
Right.
Like maybe even moving almost like from plane to plane as you go to certain areas. Weird face shit, you know?
Sure. Yeah. No more explanation is needed.
Yes. And as you kind of get your bearings here, just on the edge of your perception, you'll get a sense that you're not alone, that there are eyes on you, but
I don't know where, I bet.
You look up and you see about a dozen tiny figures. Some of them are standing on branches. Some of them are just kind of hovering in the air with these tiny little wings. And they are humanoid in shape, but very, very small. It's hard for you to kind of in the half light up there really get a look at them. But after you kind of notice them, about half of them just kind of disappear off into the trees. But there are two who descend, coming straight down. One of them is approaching with empty hands. As it gets closer, you notice kind of a feminine shape. They have these butterfly wings, greenish in hue, green hair, but solid, you know, for a little tiny person. She has a sword at her side, a strange shield on her back that's like made of an acorn cap. And there is another figure coming down alongside of her that is probably bearing arms. Scott, why don't you describe this other figure that Zika sees?
It is a male shape of, again, kind of a light greenish hue skin. A solidly built tiny person. It looks like maybe he's been through the ringer once or twice. A little bit of age. There's some lines there that might be scars or just a little bit of hard living there or long lived. Coming down, kind of frowning, disapproving entirely, and is like, oh yeah, he's carrying a stick. Oh no, that's a bow. That's a very, very, very tiny bow with an arrow knocked in it as he's flying down. He carries the bow very easily, like years or decades or some ridiculously long time of using a bow.
Who are you?
Make the visitor answer first. You furry oaf, giant furry oaf, you announce yourself. You are in our hollow.
Do you work with that wee little coward, that evil little critter that runs around in here? Is he one of yours?
You'll have to be more specific. You're talking about Natch?
Never spoken to him before, but he's got an evil wooden face and sharp little teeth.
No, there's no need to be hostile, Perrin. We should perhaps welcome our guest. You have the pleasure of speaking with Polly Winterglade, and I am the acting chieftain of the Swift Wings. We are of the Chi-Chi, the protectors of Winyas Hollow, and this grumpy little fellow next to me is Perrin Squinty Eye, our chief hunter and protector. But yes, tell us about yourself. Who are you and what are you doing here?
I came here following that evil little thing. It impersonated someone that's very dear to me, and well, I don't like him, and if you're harboring him, then that would put you in at odds.
This giant furry goofus might just be what we need. I don't think this thing is in league with Natch. We can use it.
If I could track him down, I already have done it.
I have never seen something like you before. What is your name?
Zika Hardwater. I hail from the Glaswood in the east.
And then you hear over the other sprites in the area a strange murmur at your speaking of the Glasswoods.
Ah, oh, you're one of the Fae from back east.
Aye.
Yes, we've heard of you. You are the weasel folk, the...
We are the Isog.
Perrin, have you ever heard of the Isog?
I've heard what everyone else has heard. Rumors of Fae touch that live in the east that are animal folk. I just assumed they wouldn't be so huge and gangly.
Yes, they are. Their bodies are very, very disproportionate for some reason. They're weirdly, like, tall and kind of windy. She looks like a ferret. Are you a ferret?
I'm an Isog. Look, is this going somewhere? If you are enemies of that wee evil creature, then I will call you my ally for at least until we sort out a bit more what all we are. but I'm an Isog, and well, I've heard tales of your kind as well, of the wee fairy folk of the Hollow.
Yes.
It's fair to say we don't know much about each other, but if you can direct me toward this Natch fellow, I'd be happy to remove the headache from both of us if I can.
Well, I do hope that is true. Natch has become quite a problem for us. I can tell you that the Swiftwings, we are not of this place. Our sacred glade has been in our clan's holdings for generations. The Shichi, we are the guardian. Well, we're not really used to being outmatched by those who should be our lessers. This, about a month ago, our glade was assaulted by some kind of strange force, and our chieftain was killed, betrayed by his servant, a brownie named Natch. Never seemed an ill sort. He was always, he was quiet. He did what he was told. He served under our chieftain, Declan Crowcatcher, a very old and wise Shichi. I'm not one for gossip, but there was word that Natch was not a big fan of being Declan's servant, and that old Crowcatcher was at times perhaps a little dismissive, a little rough with a little brownie, I don't know.
What are his goals now? If he's disposed of his previous superior, what are his aims now? What does he gain from going around causing this sort of dire mischief?
Well, that's just it.
Corrupt and evil.
Yes.
All he knows. What? Mischief and corruption.
Changed. He used to be just, you know, your average little brownie. They're, you know, small little guys who help us and do a lot of the cleaning and tending and dressing of the kill and, you know, brownie work. But all of a sudden he seems to have all of this strange magical power just out of nowhere. And before you know it, our glade was, how would you describe it, Perrin?
Corrupted. Turned on us. Our own glade that we lived and tended and lived symbiotically with, it turned on us and turned malevolent and dark. Horrible. I don't know.
It just everything just seemed to die and turn black and wilt and grow very, very cold.
Of its own accord.
Of its own accord? Natch did it.
Yes,
follow it along. It's not a difficult narrative. Come on. He's getting away.
No, Perrin.
As I said, point me in the direction and I'll go that way.
Well, this is the tricky thing about Natch is he's very powerful. And, well, there are some of us who believe that we should hunt him down and make him pay. And the rest of us feel that there's only a matter of time before the Wenya come back and they wake up and take care of it like they always do. Which is why we came to this tree. This here is a, or was, a Wenya. Or part of the
not
Wenya.
Coming back. We've been around. They're not coming back. Something's wrong, and Natch is part of it. We've got to hunt him down.
I'll look at Zika and be like,
you see what I'm dealing with here?
And he'll look you right in the eye, and that's when you realize, like, oh, he's not squinting. That left eye's missing.
He has a great big bow and a missing eye.
Great big being relative.
Yeah. Well, you know, perspective with the rest of him. And about three or four out of the dozen or so sprites you see here seem to be kind of backing him up. And the rest of them just seem to be kind of freaked out and tired and afraid.
What do you know of the progenitor and the Nexus?
The Wenya say, well, they don't say a lot, that there is a part of this world that has a pool of raw, chaotic fey energy, and that it is tended by one of the Archfey.
I know little of what Natch does, what his motivations are, but I know that he does not like the progenitor. That came up in my brief interaction with him, is he thought that the progenitor was his enemy. Tried to make me believe so as well.
And one of the other sprites flies forward a little bit. She is emaciated looking. Her hair is gone partially white. She has very long lines in her face. She's very different than the rest of them.
I told you, he gets into your mind and shows you things. He shows you lies and tricks and terrible waking dreams.
Aye. You've met him, have you?
Yes. I was caught by him on the way out All I remember was watching the rest of my clan burn in the sky. They were touched by sunlight and then erupted into flames. Wanted me to believe that we had been cursed, that those of us who remained would need to come to his side and take place in some great war. It was all nonsense, though. When I woke, the rest of my clan, or most of us, were all still alive. This curse was something he made up. He shows tricks and makes you believe things that aren't true.
He can change his shape.
He can hide. He can flit about.
He can peer into your mind and absorb things you know and use them against you.
Almost like we should hunt him down and kill him.
Aye.
The oaf is with me. Come on, we can track him. And the oaf is of the Fae, of the East. And we'll have magic that will stop him from escaping.
Magic to you.
And then they all start kind of muttering amongst themselves. And then Rosie steps, flits forward. It goes,
do you have magic?
Aye.
What sort of magic do you have?
Druidcraft. And I will, in fact, cast Druidcraft. This was actually something I was kind of curious about. One of the possible things that you can do is have it predict the weather in the next 24 hours. And I am dying to know what the weather is going to be like in Wenya's Hollow.
Okay.
A short circuit, but
yeah, the weather is going to be cold and rainy.
So some illusory rain will pour down in a very small localized area that does not make anyone wet. With a raised paw, that effect will happen for a few seconds and then go away.
Well, that is something.
Is there any chance you have any magic that all of us can't do? We are all Fae touched.
It is not something that I can teach in...
I mean, I don't need you to show me. I'll believe you. But Natch is powerful, you understand. And any time we've ever got close to cornering him, he just blinks away. We have to stop him from getting away. And we need powerful magic to stop him.
Is there something... Is there a can you trap him? Or perhaps find him when he is unseen?
I can do some small things like that, but I don't know the depth and nature of his magic. If he would be able to simply teleport out of whatever bonds I might be able to conjure, or if not, if I have some spells, but whether they'd hold him or not, but I'd like to get a hold of him and see if I can try.
Well, I suppose if that is what you want to do, we can't stop you. We can perhaps point you in a direction, but many of our hunters were either killed or fled. Perrin is the best of us, and others like Esme here are...
I'll go with the furry oaf, and we'll put an end to this.
I will. It is said that he has taken over one of the Swamps of Forgetting. These are places that generally only outsiders fall upon, those who the Wenya believe should not be here. They test them and then give them the opportunity to leave or remain. But those who remain are generally not able to do much of anything but wander around aimlessly and get lost.
Righty.
I don't know what he wants with this swamp, but we generally stay away from there because there's nothing that we need there but trouble. Perrin can show you the way. Though it may not seem to outsiders, there are actual paths within Wenya's Hollow, but you have to know what to look for and where to go.
Almost seems random how we've been wandering around, and if you can show me how to navigate through, I would be very appreciative and certainly help on this task we have before us.
Well, Perrin, if you wish to travel with Isisog, we only wish you the best of luck and hope you are able to return. We will be here. The weather seems to be holding for now, so...
It will rain tomorrow.
Yeah, I know! We all can do that, you know? You know, you don't have to be rude. It's all right.
A little humor now and then is not the worst thing.
All right. We'll go. I got to talk to the hunters before I go.
And I will just address the rest of the hunters.
I know you're all useless without me, but it's time for you to prove yourselves. So you need to keep our temporary home secure, and you need to make sure you are able to gather enough to sustain the clan. And I trust you with this. On your honor, you must do so, you useless bastards.
And then I will back over to the hover over by the Isog.
All right, let us go. We will have our own hunt.
And one of the hunters just goes,
right, you know what to do. Hide in a tree.
And then everybody goes and hides in the tree. And then you move out. Perrin, you know how to follow the paths. You will reach out to find the stream. You know that the stream is one of the few like actual solid pieces of terrain that doesn't change, and it, you know, trails north, south, and you follow it for a ways and then move off at a patch of young growth trees that signals you to start moving to the west. Zika, it's, you know, hard to keep up with him because he's very small and he flies around sometimes a little bit higher than you can see, but you're able to more or less keep up with him. And as you go,
tell me where you're going. I should tie a bell on you.
Why? What are you doing way back there? Man, we should tie a bell on you.
You're the leader.
Just alert the crows, and then that a whole other problem. All right, stop shouting. Come on.
And I'll start to fly a little bit lower. And if I fly up ahead, I will stop and like point to the way we're turning. And I'll just be a real dick about it.
Okay. Yeah, as you're moving around, you do your best to keep this giant oaf of an Isog, you know, from just, you know, blundering her way through the woods. It's not the kind of thing you're used to, Zika. The Glasswood is a very different place. It's just, it's equally chaotic, but it's a chaos that you are familiar with.
Yeah, it stays put. It doesn't shift.
It doesn't shift. The closer you get to the Nexus, weird shit happens, but you don't go there. You've been there very often.
Yeah.
And then eventually you come to Perrin, you know that you are basically on the edge of the swamp, and you can feel you're getting closer because that's weird, almost palpable feeling of confusion is kind of coming off it in waves. It's nothing that you have to start like making saving throws or losing your will to do anything. It's just more like that generally kind of befuddling sense. And just then, as you're about to break towards the swamp, you hear a sound, a Perrin, you know the sound only too well, a dark flapping and a cawing that could only mean one thing.
The crows, ready yourself.
Crows? What sort of crows?
Dangerous ones, killer ones. Peck your eye out if you're not careful.
Yeah, Zika, you see some crows. You know, it's not all that frightening to you because, you know, you've seen crows. And they're just kind of flying around. They land on trees around you. You're not getting a threatening sense really from these crows. It's just like, okay, there's some crows.
Right.
Perrin is really like going on the offensive.
I've got a strategy. Hide in here. And I'll like open up like my backpack or something. Quick.
All right, all right.
Fold myself in there dubiously and all try to make enough room that I can still have my bow and so I can pop out and loose an arrow, you know, to defend the corpse of this thing when the crows peck her to death.
Okay. As you do that, one particular crow just flaps down from the sky and then lands on the ground in front of you, Zika. It cocks its head. It looks up at you. It cocks it one direction, cocks it the other direction. And then, I know you're in there, starts talking.
Oh, it's one of the talking crows. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's an animal in this woods. It's probably going to talk at some point. I see. Your squinty-eyed friend is hiding from us once again. What are you afraid of?
What do you want with them, you great bully?
What? We want nothing. We simply wish to
eat him or peck his eyes out.
Well, now that you mention it, he's never been very friendly to our kind. And as you're having this conversation with them, I need you to give me a perception.
That is a 19.
Okay. As he's standing there trying to, you'll goad Perrin Squinty-Eye out of your backpack, you catch out of the corner of your eye like three of these crows in branches that are just at the level of your backpack, and they're trying to undo the strings of one of your side pouches. And possibly steal whatever is in there.
Well, no, that's not necessary. Jump away and wave them away in kind of a shoe fly manner. What are you doing that for?
What? We are curious beings. We often find that travelers have too many things. And
I've been traveling for a long time and I pared it down to just the necessities. If there's something you want to look at, I'll show you, but don't take anything.
The other crows, once they've been caught, they just kind of fly off, flutter off into the sky. This is, well, I see you are a newcomer to the Hollow. If you are rude to the crows, it is said that they will dog your every step. I mean, I don't know where that comes from, but they say that about us, so it must be true.
Well, I've no quarrel with you. I'm simply here to, well, if I can, I'd like to remove a blight from this land. If there's anything here that's worth keeping around, then perhaps you might just let me pass and I'll let you go on your way. Unless, of course, you're in league with that evil brownie called Natch.
And at that saying, it just squawks a very dismissive squawk. Oh, that disgusting little man. He wants to take all of the trinkets and keep them for himself. He has found our nests and taken our hoards. I can give you some information that might help you. But
help me to find Natch, by all means.
I can tell you where he is right now and who he's with.
Please. And then anything I find that belongs to you, I'll return to you.
Well, that's all well and good, but I'd need something of yours. It's just the way.
You need something of mine so that I can go and retrieve all of the things that you own.
I can't give you information without an exchange. It is the way.
How about we call it a deposit then? And I'll give you an item for your information. And if I die, you keep it. And if I return with all of your goods, then you'll give me back what's mine.
Yes, that sounds good. What will you give me?
I guess I can give my leaf from the Traveler's Lucky Clover, because I can't use it right now, because all of the people that have the other leaves of it are more than 30 feet away.
Okay. Just kind of pecks. This is an interesting little leaf here.
All right, it's magic, that.
Yes. I accept your trinket, and I will give you the information that I know. His name is Natch.
Aye, I told you that.
Oh, right, yes. He is a brownie.
Told you that as well.
Oh,
look, you really said you knew where he was, and you said you knew who he's with.
Oh, yes, right. He is in the swamp just beyond those trees. He spends his time in one dark willow that branches over the entire swamp. He sits there most of the time watching, and he has two friends that have joined him. I don't know where they came from, but they are not from here. They are very nasty little buggers. They're small, they have white beards and slick red hats, and they're very, very nasty.
Can I roll like your nature or arcana to see what that is?
You can give me an arcana.
That is a 21.
Okay. Those sound like fake creatures called red caps.
Red hats, you say? Sound like, yes. Red caps.
Yes, they're little dudes. They wear these like cloth hats that are soaked in the blood of people they kill. Real pleasant. They're very strong for their size. They have these heavy iron boots that they can kick you to death with, and these sickles that they can hit you a bunch of times with. They are incredibly evil. One might say chaotic evil. And they like nothing more than murdering and eating people. And they are the kind of fae that you are pretty sure should not exist here. And the fact that they're here is a very bad sign.
More abomination.
They often will hire themselves out to people as well. So perhaps Natch might be in negotiations with them. If he has all the shit that they say he has, they might actually be working for him. But they do have a mercenary side to them, so they might be able to be convinced to leave if they don't think there's going to be pay for them. And they basically like to be paid in people that they can kill and eat.
Right.
I'm just checking my inventory to see if I have any people we can bargain with, but it doesn't look good.
Yes, he is there, and he seems to spend all of his time there.
Let's see if we can coax him out then.
Yes, well, good luck to you. He is very tricky.
Well, I'm not the straightforward thinker myself.
Yes, you are very observant. You caught my brethren. Not many people do.
We have crows where I come from too, although they're a bit less chatty.
Well, we have our moments. And
I guess we will head on over to the willow in the swamp.
All right. So you make your way past this wall of dark trees. And eventually you find yourselves on the outskirts of one of these swamps, very similar to the one you found just the day before. There are patches of dry land and mostly this brackish, nasty water. It's very dark here. It's very foreboding. And there is a massive willow tree that just hangs over this whole area. And you see, sitting at the base of the tree, two small, bearded, little angry-looking dudes. And they are looking up into the tree at something that you can't quite make out where you are, and speaking kind of hushed back and forth in Sylvan.
Okay. I assume once we get clear of the crows that I will come out of the backpack and
I would imagine, yeah.
Badgering Zika with,
I can't believe you talk to the crows. Oh, you can't trust anything they say.
And then, you know, when we see that they're actual red caps.
Okay, who's right about the willow and the red caps, but I gotta believe that he lied about everything else. Everything else is a lie. You can't trust the crows.
And she's definitely never going to see that leaf again.
It was smart of you to have something worthless to give them. It was shiny that would distract them because they're stupid and they're crows and they just like shiny things. So that was good thinking. Don't think trusting the crow was dubious, but good thinking, giving them a worthless trinket.
Aye. Worthless that.
Okay, so how are you approaching this scene? Two red caps have not appeared to notice you as of yet.
So how far away are they?
They're about 60 feet.
Okay.
We're going to go after the red caps. We're going to have to take them quickly. Give Natch any more than we have to.
We probably don't have line of sight to the guy because he's in the willow, right?
Yeah. You can't see him currently. If you would like, you can give me an investigation.
And, I roll really well, actually.
Ooh, I found a shiny rock we can give to the crows.
We should just rename the podcast to the Shiny Rock Stars because we just keep finding shiny
rocks. So many rocks. What did you get?
I got a 21.
Okay, so as you turn your eyes up into that tree, it takes a minute, but you can just see him standing on one of the branches. He is pretty firmly covered in there, but he is somewhat visible to you. Perrin, on the other hand, you can't see him at all.
You can't see him. He's right there.
That's a tree. It's an old willow tree. It's quite large.
In the tree.
It's an impressively sized tree. I understand that you're excited about it, but there, I don't know what you're talking about. Wait, the guy?
I assume he can point him out to me at some point.
Yes.
After discussions of the tree and how majestic it is.
Oh, you should have seen it before it was corrupted. It was wonderful. There he is. Yeah, I see him. That's me tired. My vision's not what it was.
Yeah, after he points it out to you, you're fairly eagle-eyed. You can see something. It's gonna be a hard shot from here, but you think you could probably get him. At this point, I'd say you've been kind of hanging around there enough that I'm gonna need stealth rolls.
Right. 14. Okay. 18.
Okay, so they don't appear to have seen you. So, if you want to start doing stuff, you can go ahead and roll initiative, and then you guys will both get a surprise round, and then we'll go into regular initiative. So, stuff starts happening. Roll me initiative.
Right. 17.
13.
Okay. Okay, and here we go. Perrin, squinty eye.
I figure the jig will be up when I hit this guy with an arrow, so I will make a move closer.
Yep.
And then I will loose an arrow at Natch.
Okay, are you loosening one of your fancy-dancy magical thingies at him?
I don't think I'm going to do a fancy one because I want to save those for things that do extra stuff. But let me give you a second.
Cool.
I will just take a regular old shot at him.
Okay, so you are going to be at disadvantage.
All right.
Because he is a cover.
Nobody likes that.
Well, nobody likes that, but you're really good at shooting things with a bow, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me. Pretty good with a bow. That is a 20.
All righty. Wow. Okay. Your arrow will find purchase.
Waha.
Go ahead and roll me some damage.
That is 10 points of damage.
Okay. So that will be Zika. Perrin looses an arrow and it just sails into the tree. And then you hear just a little, like you heard before.
I'm going to do what I did that seemed to work on him before and use a moonbeam.
Okay. He did not like that moonbeam the last time you did it.
Did what I did.
So okay.
I believe he will have a save. That is a con save.
Ooh, a constitution saving throw. Okay. Ooh, 21.
He succeeded on his save, so he will take half damage. Oh, I'm sorry. A shape changer makes its saving throw with disadvantage.
Oh, okay. 11?
That does not succeed.
So all of a sudden, out of the sky, even though it's during the day, you see what appears to be the moon in the sky, and a beam of light shines down from this out-of-place moon and right into the area where Natch is standing. As it happens, he squeals again.
Damn it!
Bathed in a column of silvery pale moonlight for 12 damage.
12, ouch, okay. And you will see, as he takes that damage, a little necklace around his neck you didn't notice before. It glows faintly for a second and then stops. And then we go into regular initiative. So we'll go back up to the top. So at this, one of the red caps spins around and we'll see you there. And it will... wish it had some kind of range attack, but it doesn't. So
come fly up here and get me, red cap. Do this.
It starts stomping through the swamp in a path towards you, Dika, and will get up to you, but that's all it can do. And then we go to Perrin Squinty Eye. There is a red cap that has rushed Zika and looks like it's going to start being a problem for her.
You know, can't be everywhere. I'll loose an arrow at it then to keep him off of, because I feel like our mystical Fey Touch from the East has a better chance of blowing up Natch than I do. So I will say something to that effect.
Stay on Natch! I'll take care of the red cap!
And I'll fly down a little bit closer and loose an arrow into the red cap.
Okay, go ahead.
That is a 21.
Oh, yeah.
I think right, 21. And that will do a mighty... 11 points of damage.
Okay. Tiny little man looses an arrow into the red cap. It sticks in the side of its shoulder, and then it turns its gaze to you and then licks its lips.
I have an extra attack, so I'm going to take that.
Oh, yeah, you get multiple attacks.
If I scroll down to the bottom.
That's right. Yes, you do.
I see that I have an extra attack. I'm going to shoot him again. That's a 20.
That'll hit.
Taking an additional, he can lick his lips again for 7 more.
7 more? Okay, yes. He once again licks his lips some more. And then we go to this little fucker. All right, up in the tree.
You again.
I
assume he was talking to me.
It is going to turn his horrible eye to you and attempt to place you under a hex. So Natch just kind of looks down at you, his eyes kind of lower at you, and then you kind of feel this slightly sickening feeling, and your eyes start to get cloudy. The sound around you gets a little warbly, and for right now, you will have disadvantage on any ability checks made with your wisdom.
Oh.
And you have been cursed!
Rude.
And then, Zika, it is your turn.
Right.
He's still up there. He still has that cover, but...
I'm going to keep working on this moonbeam here, so...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Make another con save.
Okay.
With disadvantage.
With disadvantage. All right, that little amulet's going to shine again briefly and appear. 12.
That will not make
it. That will not do it either. Okay. Is it a concentration effect?
It is.
Okay, so you're holding concentration, so if you take damage, you will need to make a save, and if you cast any other spell that requires concentration, that one will disappear.
Right.
That's a continual effect, so you can do something else if you wish. So there is a red cap that's about 10 feet away from you, and then another one that hasn't moved yet.
I'll produce flame. Chuck some flame at the red cap right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Probably I'm going to miss 9. Yeah,
that will miss. Alrighty, and the other red cap will bound over like his friend and run up to you guys. And then red cap number 1 is going to move over to where you guys are, and he's going to swipe at you both with his sickle. So first shot will be at Perrin. Ooh, that is an 18.
That'll hit.
Alrighty, and that will do 8 points of... slashing damage.
No, not slashing damage, huh?
And second one is an 11, which will not hit you, I'm assuming, Perrin.
11 will not hit, no. Yeah.
And his third one he will take at Zika, and that is a 17.
That will hit.
Okay, so you will take 6 points of slashing damage, and I need you to make me a constitution saving throw.
Ooh, that's no good. Unless it is a difficulty class of 5.
The moonbeam will drop. Alrighty. And then we go to Perrin's squinty eye.
All right. I will fly up and back a little bit from this guy so he can't sickle me anymore. And then okay. I will loose a couple arrows at him.
All right.
Attack number 1 is a 17.
That'll hit.
Attack number 1. Number 2 is a 20. So
those will both hit.
Not an impressive 5 on the first one, and a more impressive 9 on the second.
Okay. So, yeah, a couple more arrows pierce this red cap's flesh. The blood from one of them is from his forehead and, like, dripping down into his mouth, and he seems to enjoy that. They're horrible. And then it is Natch's go. Cast his eye down again to you, Zika, and will attempt to do a mind sliver. And you need to make an intelligence saving throw.
Oh, interesting. Intelligence. Oh, that's no good. I'm rolling terribly. That's an 8.
So he looks down at you, and this spike of pain just goes into your mind and just makes everything for a minute just completely out of focus. And you will take 5 points of psychic damage. And then you will take 12 points of necrotic damage as that hex is burrowing into your brain.
Oh, boy.
And then he moves further into the trees, but you can still basically see him. You can still see him about as much as you could before, but it is your turn, Zika. Oh, and roll a d4.
3.
All right, the next time you get attacked by one of those, that you will reduce your savings throw by 3.
What? Wait,
from the mind sliver. They don't do a ton of damage, but they're really nasty because they do that.
Okay. You'll have to remind me of that.
Yeah, I will. So there's a red cap that's right on you and a little fucker in a tree.
Okay. Then I'm going to cast Entangle, and hopefully I can get both of these red caps in that 20-foot radius. And they actually do have to make a strength saving throw now.
Now? Okay, cool. Yeah. So guy on you gets a 22. And the other guy gets 15.
They will both make it.
Okay, yeah, they're very strong for little fuckers. And so that one, who did make his savings throw, he looks down at your like little vines and stuff that tried to trick him, and he goes, "Kah!" And he looks just like, he snots a little snot on the ground and then just starts stomping with his boots. So when he gets to you, you're gonna need to make a dexterity savings throw as the boots are flying at you.
Okay. Wow, just rolling terrible on my saves. That is a 6.
Okay, so the iron boot kicks you in the face. Ooh, for 20 points of bludgeoning damage, and you are knocked prone.
I'm knocked out. You're knocked out. Death save.
Huh? Oh, shit. Okay. Alrighty. We go up 20. To red cap number 1. He is going to go over to the unconscious Isog and attempt to try and start eating her.
Okay.
That's gonna happen.
Yeah, he's just kind of grabbing her right now, and then it's your turn.
Okay, well,
he is he looks really hurt.
Okay, well, what I'm gonna do is I want to move up to where my friendly neighborhood Isog is, but I want to get the 2 red caps in a line, and now I'm gonna use one of those special things. So I'm gonna loose an arrow, and I'm gonna do a piercing attack.
Okay, cool.
Piercing arrow.
Yes, you can certainly line them
so
up.
They
for
have
that
to make dex
attack.
Saves.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's not a hard one, but it's the best thing.
Yeah, well, they're rolling bad. Not very dexterous. That's a 5 and a 10.
All right, that'll both fail the 11. So
okay, so...
So they will take... The first one will take a total of 12 points of damage from the first arrow. And the
okay.
one behind him will take 10. Go.
Seeing that horrible scene, Perrin Squinty Eye pulls back his bow and just fires. This one arrow just kind of moves this unerring speed. It cuts right through the red cap's head and into the chest of the other one.
As my bonus action, I'm going to, since I'm down here now, I also am hoping that he comes after me. I'm going to use my second wind and try to get some of my hit points.
Seeing that, little fucker is going to do something incredibly foolish. All of a sudden, a cloud of mites, fleas, and other parasites fill the air. So yeah, there's a tiny little cloud of bugs that appear around you. You need to make a constitution savings throw.
All right, I can do that. Well, I say that now. 16.
Oh, you're fine. So yeah, so you seem to be managing these stupid little bugs.
Ah, giant bugs!
I'm sorry, they're just regular sized bugs. They're just big to me.
Yeah, so the weird little infestation does nothing to you and then vanishes. And then Zika can roll a death save.
All right.
Congratulations.
And remind me what I'm rolling.
Just a flat roll. You're looking for a 10 or above.
Okay, I did roll. I've rolled a 14. So.
Okay, so you are one success. The other red cap is going to stand up and start swatting in the air at Perrin Squinty Eye. He's going to attempt to jump at you. Probably won't work. He'll try to make a swatty like disadvantage attack at you because you're kind of right out of his range. Yeah, no, he misses you. He's swatting at you with his sickle, and then it is your turn.
All right, I'm going to fly down to our savior, Fey-touched weasel person from the east, and force feed her a minor. Enjoy.
Okay, you will get 11 hit points.
Fantastic.
And it is your turn.
So there's a red cap in front of us.
There's a red cap in front of you, and when you look up in the tree, you do not see Natch.
Okay.
He is, at the very least, hiding.
Okay.
If you would like to look for him, you can give me a perception roll at disadvantage, as you are still all cursed and whatnot.
Right. I will... I think I'm going to turn into a crocodile.
Well, you're in the right place.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured is I'll just turn into a crocodile and slink into the swamp.
Okay.
In the direction of the willow.
Alrighty. So as you are slinking away, it's an action to wild shape, right?
Right.
Okay. So little annoyed fucker over here will attempt to smack you. He will roll an 11. That will miss. He swipes at the crocodile as it goes into the swamp. And then he, seeing that, will attempt to follow you into the swamp. I'll let you have a stealth because I'm assuming you're just going into the water,
right?
Into this brackish water. So if you want to roll me a stealth roll, and then he'll have to look for you. And
just terrible. 7.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow, that 9 really worked.
Yeah, I'm rolling lots of sub-5 rolls on my die.
Okay, so this red cap goes stomping into the water. Ooh, that's a 19.
What, to hit?
To hit you, yeah.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Okay. And he will do 5 points of damage.
Okay.
Perrin Squinty Eye. You've right. lost
well,
sight of
I
Natch.
I had a plan, but I think I'm going to have to start loosing arrows at Shecky, the red cap here. So I will I will loose a couple arrows at him.
Okay. He's stomping around in the water. He's not hard to notice.
Yeah. 16 and a 15.
Yep, those will both hit.
All right. 7 and 7. All right, we're being consistently bad. All right, here we go.
Not bad. All righty. He takes a bunch of damage. And Zika, it is your turn.
I will do a full swim away.
Okay.
Of 60 feet.
All right. Yeah, you can disengage and just do a full move away. How much movement does Crocodile Zika have?
It's a 30-foot swim speed, so.
Okay, it's going to be rough for him to get to you.
Then I'll do
He's
that.
Got one of those portable boats. Look out.
I'll do that crocodile thing where you pretend to be a log.
Yeah. He's
That's
gonna...
alligators. That was basically racist.
So the red cap's is going to try to go after you, but he's just sloshing around in the water because he can't reach the stupid fairy. He could try to reach you, but you're swimming really fast and I'm a crocodile. So Perrin, it is your turn.
All right, red cap is temporarily neutralized, so I'm going to look around, see if I can see Natch.
Give
just
me
as a presumably a free action if I don't see him.
Yes, give me a perception roll.
Okay. Ooh, look at that. I'll
say you have pretty good 10. Perception here.
I mean, I'm not a 10, it's 20. I got a 20. I know what number.
Alrighty, you spot
14
him.
14 plus 6 is 20.
He is about 25 feet away from where he was standing before, trying to hide.
Okay. I'm going to loose arrows at him.
Okay.
he's not my favorite person, and I think he needs some arrows.
Alrighty, he will be, he is still getting cover. Unless you want to close the distance and eventually get within that tree, well, once you do that, you won't.
I actually think I might use the, I think piercing arrow does something. I can use it one more time.
That just does like a straight line, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm wondering if, no, something else does a thing. Oh, okay, it's the other thing I was going to do. Which I requires that, yeah, it's a dex save, and he's going to have a better dex save, so I don't want to do that on him. Okay, cool. Well, I'll just loosen, and I'll take the disadvantage. I'm good.
Okay.
I mean, not that good. That is a 13.
That will miss.
All right. Attack number two is a 9. Disadvantage is awesome. All right.
That sounded like you had a 20 on the other die.
I
have one that would hit.
I will say this, Zika, because you can kind of spot where he is hurling his arrows, on your turn, you can get a regular perception roll to see him. Basically, you get advantage, but that will just nullify your disadvantage.
Right.
Because he is going to... Yeah, give me a intelligence saving throw, Perrin Squinty Eye.
All right. Intelligence is the thing that I have, in theory. That's a big fat 2.
Oh boy.
Take 3 points of psychic damage.
Ow.
As you are mind slivered.
Do I need to roll a d4?
Yeah, just do that, because if he tries it again next turn, it will reduce your saving throw, but okay. It only does that for a turn.
Zika, you're glad I rolled high on that. All right, here we go.
Alrighty, Zika. Crocodile Zika.
I will see if I can spot.
Alrighty, give me a perception roll.
That is a 21.
You see him. You see right where he is.
Is he on the ground, up in the tree?
He is still up in the tree.
I will dismiss the wild shape as a bonus action and cast Moonbeam.
Damn.
Okay. Another Moonbeam. Alrighty, that is a Constitution saving throw.
Yes.
20.
He might have made that.
Yeah.
So he will take half of 14, which is 7.
7, okay.
I also want to continue to move away from the red cap.
Okay.
So if he's close to me, I want to move.
Okay, yep. So you're going to be where you are. By the time you get over there, you're going to be at the tree.
Okay.
So you're going to run out of land before this guy catches up to you.
Okay, well, if I am not holding anything in my hands, I will use what remaining movement I have to start climbing the tree.
There you go. Because you can do that, because you're all fairy. Perrin.
All right. At the moment, we seem to have an idea where Natch is, so let me take out his backup at this point. Since there's not a crocodile climbing the tree, there's now an Esau climbing.
There's now an Esau climbing the tree. Okay. She has all four.
I wanted
there
to be a crocodile climbing the tree, but I understand why there's not.
I actually right, I so had the I will... thought that I would cast Spider Climb first and then be a crocodile, and then I could be a crocodile climbing the tree. But...
that is an opportunity for a great thing that just didn't happen.
That's too bad. That's all right. What are we going to do? All right, well, I'm going to lose a couple arrows at the red cap.
At the red cap? Okay.
My first attack, which is a crit, and my other attack, which is a near 26. So
okay, those will both hit, so roll a whole bunch of damage.
All right, so this one is 14 points of damage.
Okay.
Total for the crit, and the other one is 9.
All right, a couple more arrows sprout out of the back of that red cap, and it falls into the swamp. And
what you get?
Zika, give me a wisdom savings throw.
Disadvantage?
Yes.
Okay. That is a 13.
All right, as you're climbing up the tree, you got Natch in your sights, and then he looks down at you, and you are pulled out of this scene very briefly, and you see yourself standing in the center of this circle, and you're surrounded by other Esog, and they are eyeballing you with just daggers. As you kind of come to in the scene, you realize you're standing bound in the center of this weird circle, and then over looming over them, you see the figure of what could only be the progenitor, and they point their finger down at you and just utter in Sylvan,
"Traitor!"
And then all the Isog or in the circle start hurling rocks at you, and then you snap back and you are frightened.
Oh boy.
So you gain the frightened condition. And that means...
advantage on ability checks and attack rolls. Can't willingly move closer to the source of fear.
Okay, yeah. So you are just kind of stuck there in the tree. Mm. You see Natch, but you cannot go near him for the moment. But it is your turn.
I don't need to move.
So enjoy that.
To use a moonbeam.
That's right.
Roll a constitution saving throw.
So far... yeah, no, he fails.
All right. That is 17.
Okay. So let me describe the scene. So things have got really rough. You know, this fight has not been an easy one. Those red caps have made it really difficult. This little fucker up in the tree is full of all kinds of tricks. So as Zika is making her way, just climbing up to him with blood in her eyes, he stares down and Perrin, you see for a moment, Zika just frozen in fear as she just kind of starts backing down, but the moonbeam continues to just pulse down on him, and the one big white pulse of energy courses into him, and then he just looks up just like with a look that says, "Shit, I probably should have moved." And you see his whole being start to kind of sizzle and crackle and burn, and then he just flops out of the tree and falls, plumps down into the swamp. And you're no longer afraid.
Gonna move the moonbeam over to his body.
Yeah, which I will be riddling with arrows.
Yeah, he just, yeah, there's really, he didn't even get to monologue you or anything. It was just a nasty, nasty, horrible, horrible thing. Searching the area, you will indeed find a bunch of stuff. You definitely can tell what the crow's treasures are because there's just a lot of shiny shit.
Right.
Shiny metal and jewelry and one or two things that may be magical, but you're not sure if you want to mess with them. The crow does return, and in total disbelief of what you've done, will be good to his word. They do all side eye, Perrin, squinty eye, but then they take off into the air and seem to view you with a little bit of respect. Maybe perhaps your party as well, who knows? But eventually you will come back to the Swift Wings, let them know that the great scourge of Natch the Brownie is gone. Once they get the story from Perrin, they will show you a path back to where your friends were.
Can you tell me, is there a secret to navigating these woods?
Well, I will confide in him, assuming that we don't like tell all outsiders how to do this, about the river trick, the stream trick. Like the stream is the one thing that doesn't move. And you can usually navigate by that, but you're kind. And then if there's any other like simple tricks I can tell him, I will. And when I tell the story of him to the rest of the clan, it won't really seem that I'm like overly praising him or her, but it's amazing for me. Like, you know, for grading on the Perrin curve, this is an amazing amount of Dahi, but it's like,
did a real good job. Handled it pretty well. Good magic.
And everybody else is like, oh my God, this is amazing. Perrin really likes this Isog.
This tribe is blessed to have you, Perrin.
Well, I keep telling them that. They don't seem to believe me, but thanks. And anytime you need to kill a foul, corruptive influence, I will be happy to have your help.
And Rosie Winterglade will hand you a walnut.
If you're ever in a situation where it's dire and you need the assistance of about a dozen Chi-Chi, just crack this walnut and we'll come to your aid.
I will not use this lightly. Thank you.
And they show you following the stream in the direction they tell you to go, eventually will lead you back to the place where you last were, and you are able to find a trail of footsteps leading out of there. You're able to follow. I'm gonna make, not going to make you make rolls, or the next three episodes will be you lost in the woods. And eventually you will come upon a lone figure who is walking in your direction. When they see you, first, you're a little fearful because it's a stranger, but there's something about them that just feels non-threatening to you, something that you recognize. And you see a woman dressed in this strange wooden armor. She carries a very sharp wooden sword. and a very strong-looking wooden shield. She has kind of pointy ears, but not quite elven. She is definitely fey. And as she spots you on the path, she stands there and looks, just kind of bends down and goes, "You must be Zeka Hardwater. Well, come with me. Your friends will be looking for you."
I will say in Druidic, "Hello, thank you. Who are you?"
"I am Fiora. They call me the Knight of Brambles. And I'll point you in the direction of your friends. But first, you must tell me of your quest. And then I will tell you of your new quest." And that is where we will leave things for tonight. Zeka will be reunited with her party in the next episode, episode 30.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. And you will learn all about what you're supposed to do in the coming days. And one day, who knows when, but when things are very dire, you might see Perrin Squinty Eye again and force Scott to do two voices at the same time. Or we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Either way, we might see these.
Oh boy, more that. Scott. That's what everybody wants.
That's right. The fans are itching for it.
Could he play three people? That's what we need.
We just need to have the dandy from Malshar.
You know what? I was very close to having you just meet up with Dorathius, but it was just too soon after we lost him.
Right.
That really, you know, there was an easy way to do it. We needed to see at least some of these sprites or pixies at some point, because the place is supposed to be locked. All right. Thanks. Thanks, guys. We will see you in the studio very soon. Well, you, Kevin. Thank you all so much. You can find us at patreon.com/AOE podcast. You can find us on Facebook. You might even find us on Twitter. There's a thing there. I don't know. I'm working on Instagram. I'm trying, guys. I really am. But Patreon is really the place to go. You can get early episodes at the very least. And for the love of God, this guy's got to start naming some NPCs, because I am having trouble coming up with names on my own. So I'm going to really pressure the Patreons to start giving me names.
Thank you.
So thanks again. Thank you very much. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank everybody for listening. And once again, we would love to thank our Apprentice Architect Patreons, John Christensen, Kevin Mike, Suzanne Bell, and Caitlin Thompson. We could not do this without you. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/AOE podcast. Have fun. We'll see you next time.